Matthew chapter 1, and the title of this one is Trust and Obey, and that will make more sense as we go along through here. Looking at still the birth narrative of Christ, but this time from the point of Joseph and what that would say to us. So once you found Matthew chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 18, but I'd like to ask this question first. How difficult, and I'm asking us, how difficult can it be to obey God when our needs, plans, or desires take a hit? How easy is it, or how difficult can it be to obey God when what you wanted takes a hit? When God says, I know you wanted to take a right, but I want you to turn left. When God says, I know you were wanting to sit down, but I'm asking you to stand up. When you were like, Lord, I want to be silent, and God says, I need you to speak up. How difficult can it be sometimes to obey God when our needs, plans, and desires are going to take a hit? If you're ever wondering what the apex of obedience looks like, Joseph is going to meet that criteria. Especially in these areas that I've discussed here, needs, plans, even hopes and desires, even a reputation, he's willing to take a hit to follow the Lord. He's willing to give up what he would hope in place of God's plan for his own life. Let's read the passage through together. Let's read it through all in one lump sum and make sure we're all on the same page with this section of it. Matthew writes, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now Jesus himself, when he grows up and begins to teach his disciples, he makes claims to the lives of his followers. In other words, following Jesus means you're going to give something up, and Jesus doesn't hide that from his followers. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him, what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't see a cruise in there. I don't see arrive at the top of your company and retire at 55 and have an easy life the rest of your life. It's not there. Take up your cross means dying. And Jesus lays that out to his followers from the beginning. Perhaps sometimes we do the world a little bit of misjustice when we don't let them know up front this is what Jesus is going to require of you. When you say yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're saying yes to him and no to me. You're saying yes to him and no to the world. You're saying yes to him and no to your own plan and will for your life. He doesn't say it just once. In Matthew 19, 21, Jesus said to the man, the rich man that wanted to, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus said to him, if you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. So he asked the rich man to give up his life as he knew it. So let's make it, it just happened to be a rich man. Matthew was a tax collector. Matthew gave up tax collecting. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were fishermen. They gave up fishing to follow Jesus. Jesus says to the rich man, go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. So adjust that for your own life. Whatever it is that you think is your life, that Jesus says to you, get rid of it in a profitable way. You'll just throw it in the trash can, but get rid of it in a profitable way. Give that all away and follow me wherever I go. It's one thing for a person to say, do as I say and not as I do. It's completely different when the person who's asking you to do something does it himself, is it not? And isn't that what Paul tells us about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2? But Jesus he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. And we're talking about the King of Kings setting that title aside. We're talking about the Lord of Lords taking off the crown and setting it aside. We're talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who's ministered to by angels, leaving heaven and taking up human flesh. He did what he calls his followers to do. But if you keep reading in Philippians chapter 2, he goes further. He even learned humility by suffering the death of the cross. He was willing to humble himself as well. Jesus is asking us to do difficult things. I agree, at times it seems difficult. But he's already walked that road. And he's walked that path in a greater degree than you or I could ever hope to imagine. Jesus has done what he is leading us to do. And then with that in mind, I want you to consider Joseph here. Now, this is important in verse 18. It says that Mary was espoused to Joseph. It's possible if you've got a more modern translation that says engaged or betrothed, but their engagement is not like ours. Their engagement was you're married without the benefits. She's not cooking your breakfast yet, and she's not making your clothes and washing your clothes yet. You're married, but he's preparing for the actual consummation by building a home and getting ready for what is to come. So they're married in every aspect without the benefits. I don't have to go any further than that, do I? Okay. So while she is supposed to be his wife without benefits, this is important. She is supposed to be faithful to her husband because now in every sense of the law, they are married. She's found to be with child. She's pregnant. Now let that sink in from Joseph's point of view. I'm devoted to this woman. I'm waiting for this woman. Why can't she wait? In fact, as we're about to see here, he's thinking she didn't wait, but he's not angry. Now, because he is a just man, justice says, according to the law in Deuteronomy, that a woman who is espoused to a man that sleeps with another man, you put him to death. Justice says, in Joseph's mind, according to the law, Mary deserves to die. That's justice if she's been unfaithful. And that's what he's thinking because, let's be honest, how many women come up pregnant without having slept with a man before? That's unusual for their time as much as it would be for ours. So Joseph is thinking on these things. He's pondering these things. And in verse 19, we find out that not only is he just, but there is some kindness in him, for he does not seek to follow the law as far as putting her to death, but he seeks to put her away privately. He's going to handle this discreetly. He doesn't want harm to come to her. He cares about her. But he knows what the law is, and as a son of David, if he's got any hopes to bring the Messiah forth through at least his lineage, what must he be? Faithful to the Lord. So he is going to put Mary away privately. None of it's out of anger. None of it's out of injustice. He's doing what is right by the law. He's doing right by the Lord. And in verse 20, it tells us he is thinking on these things. He is deeply, that word thinking there, thought on these things isn't strong enough. He is deeply pondering these things. It's not just a passing whim. He's trying to figure it out in his mind. And while he's trying to do this, the Lord is going to come to him. Just a side note there, how many of us wish we had thought on something a little bit longer before we acted or spoke. And actually gave the Lord time to intervene with us, to keep us from doing something we would have regretted later. But you know, we're angry, we're whatever, just drop the nuclear bomb, press the button, light the fuse, whatever. Joseph is thinking about this, and the Lord appears to him in a dream. And I'm going to contend that even if the Lord was talking to us in a dream, it's not going to make any of us any less comfortable about giving up our plans, our desires, our wishes for what he's calling us to do. Sometimes it's tough. Can you imagine taking a young girl, just graduated from school, and she's ready to find a husband? That's been her whole goal. Maybe she's just been talking to her parents the whole time growing up. I can't wait to get married. And the Lord comes to her and say, I want you to not get married, and I want you to stay celibate the rest of your life. Follow me. I'm going to put you in an orphanage, and I want you to teach kids. Now on the front end, they're like, oh, that's so sweet. She's wanted to get married her whole life. And the Lord's asking her to give something like that up. You know, we all have desires. We all have wishes. We all have plans. And that's exactly what's happening in this passage. The Lord comes to him, he says to him, son of David, and that's very important because that's one of the reasons why Joseph would have wanted to have a clean lineage. Fear not, don't be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She's going to bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. And the reason why he's going to be called Savior is because he's going to save his people from their sins. And this is going to be a fulfillment according to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7 and verse 14, according to our breakdown. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the virgin shall bring forth a child. In all of these things, there are three things I want to point out. Number one, Joseph is willing to accept appearances. Who's it going to look like slept with Mary if he stays with her? He did, but he didn't. But everybody's going to think what? See, we're really bad about that. We see scenarios, we see things happening, and our minds jump to conclusions that are completely unwarranted. Look at those two. They couldn't even wait at best. And Joseph is being asked to do that. In verse 24 said, when Joseph was raised up from his dream, he did what the Lord asked him to do. Joseph is willing to allow his reputation to take a hit, if you will, for the Lord. How many people are ashamed to claim Jesus in front of others? If I bring up Jesus, they're going to mock me. They're going to laugh at me. Joseph says, no problem. He's willing to follow the Lord. It's no problem. Number two, Joseph is going to forego natural desires. He's not, according to verse 25, he's not going to have any relations with Mary until after the birth of Jesus. He's going to give up his rights of a husband for at least 9 months. Now, without getting too into the bushes, let's just, every one of you who's married, can you imagine me leading your wedding and I say, oh, by the way, for the next 9 months, you two are going to sleep in separate beds and are to have no physical contact. Correct me. If I'm wrong, correct me. That preacher's nuts. He done lost his marbles. Because that's what you've been waiting for at the marriage, right? I know. In fact, Paul says to the Corinthians that it's important for a man to have a wife and the wife to have a husband to meet those physical desires and needs. So you get married so that that can be honored by God and blessed by God. Let's not look at it in that context. Let's just look at it and say, you get hungry, don't you? Food? Jesus got hungry. The devil came to him and said, won't you turn these rocks to bread? I know you're hungry. And Matthew points out when he was greatly hungered, that's when Satan showed up. And we would say, food's a legitimate desire. But Jesus wasn't there to meet his desires. He was there to do his Father's will. And Jesus was willing to allow his own physical need to take a hit to walk in obedience to his Father. Let's mess with this one real quickly. Paul says in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Brother Luke, I got to drink something. Sure. Just don't get drunk. It's that simple. Yeah, but what's a start I can't quit? Then don't. Then don't. Hopefully you're quickly connecting with me here. We've all got natural desires. I mean, maybe you can't pass a Coke up. Maybe you just can't. Maybe you need to, for the Lord's sake. How about let's look at number three and we'll move on really quickly. Joseph is also going to be giving up his posterity. The goal of every father is to have a what? In the biblical culture, what was the father wanting? A son. Now, they didn't hate girls. Don't misunderstand. They didn't hate girls. In fact, some of them loved their daughters very greatly, but they wanted a son because the son did what? Passed on the name. That was the future of the family. In fact, last week when we looked at Zacharias, John's dad, God did that to him. Everybody's saying, we're going to call him Zacharias Jr. And Zacharias banged on his tablet because he's not able to speak. And he said, no, no, you're going to call his name John, just like God said, you're going to call him John. When he said his name's John, he began to speak. Joseph is told, you're not going to call him Joseph Jr., you're going to call him Jesus. The firstborn is supposed to be the double portion. He is the prized possession. And in that culture, this would have been a great hit to give up that which the men so desired, to follow the Lord. Joseph did in verse 24, and I like that, very simple. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. That's why I labeled it trust and obey. If you tell me you trust the Lord but you don't walk in obedience, it's fair to ask, do you really trust Him? Yeah, but if I do this, then I got to give up my football career. I went to school with guys that had already passed the bar. They were lawyers by trade that gave that up to become preachers. Now, in case you haven't figured this out, you don't make near as much money as a preacher as you make it as a lawyer. Preachers work on the weekends. Lawyers get to play golf on the weekends. But think of it in this term. They had already done their studies. They had already passed the bar. They had already completed their studies, and they were willing to start completely over again from scratch. 3 more years of their life at seminary. Oh, the things we could have done. The places we could have gone. And I'm not going to argue that God asks anything less of the non-pastoral type either. See, that's sometimes, oh, there are exceptions. No, we're supposed to be the rule. You're supposed to be giving up no less than me. It just depends on what it is. Can you imagine God asking you to walk away from your profession after you're 50 years old and saying, now I want you to be my pastor? But I went to school with guys, and they didn't leave a job that they weren't making money. They left jobs they were making great money at to become pastors. Jesus left heaven, had no place on earth to call his own. When it came time to pay taxes, he had to send one of his disciples to catch fish. He made himself of no reputation, and certainly if anybody deserved the reputation of reputations, it would have been him, but he made himself of no reputation. In fact, we even learn from the Bible, he wasn't even great to look upon. He was just an ordinary, normal nothing. Nothing stood out about him. He would have just blended in. Now think about that. The one that made the butterflies. The one that made the eagle to soar. The one that made the fish that in the different lights, the way they shimmer and change colors. The rainbow. Man, that rainbow Friday night, I don't know how many of y'all saw a rainbow. Man, that booger was bright. That was just like, somebody sent me a picture of one. I've never captured that good of a color in a camera. Man, they took a picture of this. It was amazing. That very God, the most beautiful things in the world, and he came not beautiful himself. He's not asking you to do any more than what he has already done. Now, we're this side of the cross. Joseph is looking forward, and yet he was still willing to walk in obedience to the Lord. When we consider what Joseph is willing to endure, it's important that you recognize he wasn't a superhuman, he wasn't a superhero. He was a simple, normal human being, descended from the lineage of David, and yet he walked after the Lord's heart like David. And he was willing to lay it all on the line. What is there that God could ask of you too much this year to give up for him? What is there that you would say, God, you're just asking me to do too much? What do you mean you want me to stand up and work? And I understand construction workers are probably the hardest ones to talk to Jesus about because they don't know a word that's not made with four letters, okay? They just don't. Am I right, Randy? Yeah, if they can string a sentence together and not use a four-letter word, everybody stops working and wondering what happened to them. Man, if I start talking, they're going to think I'm some kind of sissy man. So? Now, Jesus ain't asking you to be a sissy, but if they're going to call you a sissy, I'd rather be a sissy for Jesus than being a sissy just because I am a sissy. Are we willing to let our reputations take a hit to walk in obedience to the Lord? Are we willing to speak truth, to live truth? And that just blows my mind that Joseph is willing to walk next to Mary in obedience to the Lord, knowing that the human nature of people, there's going to be whisperings, there's going to be all kinds of thoughts and wonders, and yet he simply did what the Lord told him to do. Jesus said, it's not those that hear my word that walk in faith, it's those that do my word, that keep my word. Those that keep my word will be like a house built upon the rock. And when the storms of life blow, it doesn't fall down. We're in a giving season. But what is there the Lord could ask us to give him that is too much? Is there a too much in your life? And if there is, can I ask you this morning, consider Joseph, consider Jesus, and give it up for Christ. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?